Good morning. I'll be reading today from Acts 19, starting in verse 1. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" They answered, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." So Paul asked them, "Then what baptism did you receive?" "John's baptism," they replied. Paul said, "John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one after him, that is, in Jesus." On hearing this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all. Paul entered the synagogue and spoke boldly there for 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. But some of them became obstinate. They refused to believe and publicly maligned the way. So Paul left them. He took the disciples with him and had discussions daily in the lecture hall at Tyrannus. This went on for 2 years, so that all the Jews and Greeks who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that touched him were taken to the sick, and their illnesses were cured, and the evil spirits left them. Some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, "In the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out." 7 sons of Sceva, a chief priest, were doing this. One day the evil spirit answered them, "I know Jesus, I know, and I know about Paul, but who are you?" Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. When this became known to the Jews and Greeks in Ephesus, they were all seized with fear, and the name of the Lord Jesus was held in high honor. Many of those who believed came and openly confessed their evil deeds. A number of them who had practiced sorcery brought their scrolls together and burned them publicly. When they calculated the value of the scrolls, the total came to 50,000 drachma. In this way, the Lord of the Word spread widely and grew in power.
Thank you. This is the word of the Lord. The Lord adds his blessing to it. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your presence among us this morning. We thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit in our midst. We thank you for the ways in which your Holy Spirit works in and through our lives and in and through our world. And I pray this morning that your Holy Spirit will come upon your word once again and bless it and open it to our heart and eyes and mind this morning, that we may receive from you what you have from us and for us, that we may be glorified and move within our heart today, that we can truly say it has been good to be with you this morning because we again encountered you, our Savior. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. If I could ask you, what do you feel or believe is our country's greatest need? What would you say?
Revival.
How many would agree with that? Yes, and I would agree, and that would be my answer too, and that's what I was thinking, that's what I was going to say. Revival or a great awakening or a move of God's Spirit. To see the Holy Spirit work upon our nation and upon us individually. Years ago, because we are in need of a great awakening. Would you agree with that statement? Probably our greatest need today. Back when the country was just being formed in the early days of the colonial times, what was called the first great awakening sparked through our country. It was led by the preaching of George Whitefield and Jonathan Edwards as well from New England, who had that classic sermon, Sinners in the Hand of the Angry God. And through their preaching, the preaching of the word, Whitefield preached to more than 18,000 sermons in his lifetime, and perhaps one of the sole reasons for the first great awakening that broke through New England and through our country. The result of that was it brought Christianity into prominence in America, and it led a revival that the many historians believe is what prepared the way for the United States to be successful in the Revolutionary War. But then those revival fires soon spread, faint, but that led to the first Great Awakening, led to the establishment of all the schools in New England that are now part of the Ivy League. Harvard, Yale, Princeton, Dartmouth, all were founded for the purpose of training preachers to teach the Word of God to people in the country. How far the schools have gone from there, but that came out of the Great Awakening. In the 1800s, about 100 years later, the second Great Awakening hit our country. It was fueled by the preaching of pastors and the frontier. They were traveling through as the people began to migrate west, and the pastors began to travel with them, and out on the frontier they began to preach. And the second Great Awakening began after they felt the churches began to get cold and wane again. And when liberalism began to come into the churches, and the second Great Awakening come out of that. After this event, the revival that spread through the second Great Awakening led to the abolitionist movement, led to suffrage, led to temperance movement, and out of that great changes came to our country through the second revival of the Great Awakening that sprung through our nation in the 1800s. Now we come to our day, and when we love to see a move of God again, when God will move across our nation. When you hear what's been going on since the death of Charlie Kirk and how God works through things, I've been hearing of how churches have been full, how people have been coming to Christ, how lives have been being changed by his influence. And we don't know what God will work and what God will do. But in the city of Ephesus, they experienced a great awakening, a stirring of the Spirit that happened when Paul came to that city and began to bring the word of God. In chapter 19, as Harold read it for us, described the events that happened in the founding of the church at Ephesus, a church that became one of the great churches in the New Testament. The book of Ephesus, of course, was written to them. Paul, Jesus had addressed a letter to them in the church in the book of Revelation. And Ephesus was a very major cosmopolitan city of that day. Outside of Rome and Alexandria, it was one of the main cities of influence in the Roman Empire. The temple of Artemis was located there, which was one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. It was huge, and it was believed that Diana's image had fallen from heaven and had landed in Ephesus, and they built this huge temple around that spot and became one of the wonders of the ancient world, and people traveled all over to Ephesus to worship at this temple. It was a city for trade and prosperity. And into this city, the gospel arrived through Paul, a very pagan city. But through the influence of the preaching of Paul and the word of God, the city was turned upside down. In fact, as it said, there was a major disturbance. Look with me at verse 23. About that time, there arose a great disturbance about the way. And we're going to pick up to that next week. But the whole town was turned upside down. It was stirred. It was because of the power of the Holy Spirit at work. There was a great awakening. A spiritual shakeup, you might want to say. And wouldn't you love to see a spiritual shakeup in our church? Where we would experience a great awakening of God's power upon us in a new and a fresh way, and upon our nation again, resulting in total transformation, resulting in a change, resulting in things not being the way they always were, and waking us up maybe from the complacency that we had for so long. So let's look at this chapter together and discover several principles of when a great awakening comes upon us. What leads to that? What are the things that lead to God's Spirit at work in us? Because God's Spirit is with us this morning. And He begins to work in our heart that He would come upon us and stir us up in a new and a fresh way. I long to have a fresh anointing and stirring of God in my heart. Do you? For things not to continue to be the same, but for that fresh anointing and outpouring of the Spirit upon us in a new way. Because sometimes we can grow cold, we can grow apathetic, and we can things gone on the way they always have been. And sometimes we just need a fresh wind and a fresh fire and a stirring in our heart, uniting us on that fire again, awakening within our heart. And so let's look at the Word of God this morning, discover how does that occur. Well, great awakening first is because God's Spirit is present. First thing we see that led to this stirring of in the city of Ephesus was the presence of the Spirit of God and the presence of the Spirit in us. It says that when Apollos was in Corinth, Paul went to Athens, began to Ephesus and began to preach. And before he got into the city, he noticed the first thing in the city was these 12 men that he encountered who had been baptized by John the Baptist, but they were not baptized in the name of Jesus. And Saul noticed that something was missing in their life. And he said, did you receive the Holy Spirit since you were baptized? And they said, we didn't even know that there was such a thing as the Holy Spirit. We don't know what you're talking about. So Paul shared more deeply about who Jesus was. He said, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance to prepare the way for the Messiah. But Jesus came and completed the work, and you needed to trust in Him and put your faith in Him. And when they did that, it said they received the Holy Spirit and they spoke in tongues and they received that power upon them and they come to fully understand. A spiritual wake up in our life, a spiritual awakening begins when we realize that the Holy Spirit's presence is with you and me. He is here with us constantly. His presence is in our life, and He's here to give us reveal truth and understanding. Paul gave them through the Holy Spirit a greater understanding. They didn't know about the work of Christ and the fullness of what Jesus had come to do. They knew He was coming, but they didn't know that He had already come. And the Holy Spirit brought deeper truth and understanding. And the Holy Spirit is present with you this morning and as we come together in His Word to reveal greater truth about Himself. And greater truth about God. As you open your heart to Him and said, Lord, through your Holy Spirit, help me to know you better. The Holy Spirit can help us know Him better and reveal to us more about God than we know now or understand as we open our heart to Him. That's part of the reason Jesus said He sent Him to us so that He would take God's words and help us understand them and lead us into a deeper understanding of the truth. And that begins, open your heart to Him this morning. Say, Holy Spirit, reveal more of yourself to me. Because we're told in Corinthians, who understands the mind of God? Nobody but the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God reveals those deep things to us that we cannot understand. And He stirs in our heart. And he prompts us and stirs in our heart those inner longings to know Jesus better. Those inner longings to desire, have a greater desire for Him. To move and to stir in our hearts and to draw us closer to Christ. And His presence is here this morning saying, come, draw close to me. Let me work in your heart. Let me stir in you a new passion and a new love for the Father. And He's here to fill us with power. It says when Paul placed his hands on him, the Holy Spirit came upon them and they spoke in tongues and they prophesied. God's power was released through them. And Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And He enables us to do what we can't do on our own. And His power is a new and a fresh in our life, working through us, the same power that spoke and created the world. The same power that brought Jesus out of the grave. The same power is in your life and mine through the Holy Spirit. So God's Spirit is present. Sometimes we forget that we are in the presence of the Almighty God, the Creator, the Lord of all. That power, His power, is at work in you. He is present among us. That's where it begins, to realize that we are in the presence of the Holy God. And He is in us. Second, a great awakening comes when God's word is proclaimed. Notice that Paul then entered the synagogue and spoke boldly there for 3 months. And he began to teach about God and the truth of the scripture and the kingdom of God. And some in the temple and the synagogue became obstinate, the unbelieving Jews. They didn't want to hear the truth. So Paul left there and he went to the lecture hall of Tyrannus. And it said that he taught daily for 2 years. For 2 years, every single day, he taught consistently the word of God to the people in Ephesus. And he proclaimed it. The continual exposure to God's word, the continual exposition of God's word. And I heard someone say one time, they asked their pastor, well, what was your pastor's sermons about? What did he preach about? They said, oh, I don't remember. And he said, well, then what value is it to go to church if you don't remember your pastor's sermon? And he said, you know what? He said, I've been married to my wife for over 50 years. And he said, I don't remember everything she gave me, everything she fed me over those years, but I know that she has given me some really good meals that really benefited my health. And if she wouldn't have fed me those meals every day, it wouldn't have sustained me. And he said, I may not remember everything that my pastor says over those years, but the continual feeding of the word of God nourishes my soul. And that's what was going on here in Ephesus. For every single day for 2 years, the people sat under the teaching of the word of God that ended up changing their life. What was the result? Notice the result of that. It said that because of this, all the Greeks and Jews who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of God. It went through the whole province as Paul daily, consistently taught the word of God. And it's believed by many Bible scholars that it was during this time that the seven churches in the book of Revelation in the province of Asia were founded. But through the word of God going forth, the consistent exposition of God's word boldly and daily, it makes that change. And as you expose yourself to God's word every day, you may not remember everything you read. You may not, but as you continue to expose yourself to God's word all the time, every day, the more of that we get into God's word, the more of it's going to get into us and change us, right? And as God's word is proclaimed faithfully and effectively, we begin to see that change. It made a difference in the city of Ephesus. It changed them through the daily, consistent teaching and the proclamation of the word of God. And third, there's a great awakening, we see that God's power is displayed. Some extraordinary things happened in Ephesus that didn't happen anywhere else. And it said in verse 11 that God did some extraordinary miracles through Paul, that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick and their illnesses were cured and the evil spirits left. And we say, wow, what's going on here? And say, boy, this is different. This is strange that even if there were handkerchiefs that Paul touched, they would take them and somebody else and they would be healed because of the power of God upon him. And say, boy, we haven't seen that happen. But you know, what happened in the book of Acts, we need to understand, is descriptive and not prescriptive. Luke is recording for us the events that were happening at that time of transition between the Gospels and the Epistles. And some things happened during that transition time that may not happen now. And he's not saying that we're to get a hanky and pray over it and send it out and somebody will be healed. Have you heard these people on TV, these pastors on TV that have done that? And say, send me so much of your money and they pray over this hanky and you'll be healed? But that's not what was going on here. God's power was displayed. Lives were being changed and transformed because God was working through Paul. And when a great awakening occurs in your life and mine, lives began to be changed because God's power is displayed through us. And when people see God's power at work in you and through you, that is the greatest display of God's glory, isn't it? The greatest display of God's glory is for people to see how he has transformed you, the change that he has made in your life, or what he is doing in and through you, and how he is at work in you touching someone else's life. Not in not in miraculous ways, but in ordinary ways through the hand of God. But we see the glory of God. And Jesus said, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and glorify who? Your Father in heaven. So when the Holy Spirit begins to stir in our heart and the word of God is proclaimed and we see what we need to be doing and bring our life in accordance with his word, and we let that word begin to transform us, God's glory is displayed. And people see him at work in our life and in what we're doing because of the transformation he's done in us. And that's how we see lives changed. Yeah, God may choose to do the miraculous, and he still does and can. We're not limiting him, but often it's not through the miraculous, it's through the everyday of the transformation. And the greatest transformation is a soul set free from sin. And the greatest miracle is the miracle of the new birth. And when God works in that way. So is God's light, God's glory being displayed through you? Is his power being seen and displayed at work in your life? That's the question. And when a great awakening comes, his power is at work through us. And people take note of that. And the glory goes to him. And when a great awakening comes, Jesus is exalted. In verses 13 through 17, we see another strange event that occurred here in Ephesus. And again, Ephesus, because of it having that big temple to Artemis, to Diana, there was a lot of occultic activity there. And a lot of people that believed in the supernatural and in contact with the demonic spirits. And there was these seven men who their father was a priest, it says, who got in, tried to exorcise demons. And they went and they said, there was this demon they encountered and said, in the name of Jesus, who Paul preaches, I command you to come out. And the demon said, well, I know Paul and I know who Jesus is, but I have no idea who you are. And the demons come upon them and overshadowed them and drove them out of the town naked and said, boy, that's a strange encounter. What was going on here? Why is that in the scripture? Because again, I think Paul, the Lord is telling us, a great awakening happens when Jesus is exalted because his name is to be honored and revered, and these people were using his name in an inappropriate way. They weren't revering his name at all. They were using his name as a incantation for a magic formula. And often, how many times do we do that when we try to pray? We'll take the name of, we'll pray, and then we'll put in the name of Jesus, amen. And we maybe try to use his name as a magic formula, thinking that will bring an answer to what God wants to do. And Jesus' name is to be honored and revered, isn't it? Be held in highest among above all. Not to be misused, not to be treated lightly, but to be revered and honored. And they were using the name of Jesus for something for their own. He becomes first and supreme in our first love. And Jesus cannot be manipulated. And there's people that try to manipulate Jesus. And we can't manipulate him. We yield to him. We don't command of him. He gives the commands to us. And he is to be exalted. We can't mix our love for Jesus with the world either. And that's what they were trying to do in the name of Jesus, who Paul preaches, come out. And they were trying to bring elements of Jesus and elements of the world. When I was in Haiti years ago, the missionaries told us that Haiti, if you know anything about that country, is an official Catholic nation. But yet it's one of the big problems there is dark with voodoo. It's extremely dark with the voodoo nation. And the missionaries told us that they practice what's called syncretism there. They take Catholicism and they merge it with voodoo, and they go into the Catholic churches, and while they're in the Catholic churches praying to the saints, they're calling on the voodoo spirits. And that's what was going on here. And Jesus can't be mixed with anything. It's Jesus and Jesus only. When I was in college, I remember this story being told to me by a guy from college about friends of his that in his youth group that were playing with this Ouija board. Anybody know what these Ouija boards are? And they were playing with these Ouija boards thinking it was a game. It's not a game, it's demonic. And they were playing with this game and they was asking it questions. I guess they were curious, as these kids tried to be. And he told me that it spelled out to them, "Why are you asking us this? You are in Christ." Which shows you the power behind that. But that's basically what was going on here. Jesus is exalted, and he is to be Lord, and we don't mix anything with him. We don't use his name as a magic formula or flippantly, and he can't be manipulated to serve our purposes. We realize that he alone is Lord, and we are not God. He is. Which leads to the last thing that happened. It said whenever these men were driven out of the city and the house naked and bleeding, when the word of this went throughout Ephesus, they were seized with fear. And the fear here was the fear of God. And this is what led all these things together to this great awakening. And it said, and the name of Jesus was held in high honor. And many of those who believed now came and openly confessed their evil deeds. And the number who practiced sorcery brought their scrolls together and burned them publicly. And when they calculated the value of the scrolls, the total came to 50,000 drachmas. It's believed, some believe that's over $1 million. And in this way, the word of the Lord spread quickly and grew widely and grew in power. And that great awakening occurred. When that great awakening comes and God's spirit stirs in our heart, his word is proclaimed and God's glory is displayed in powerful ways through our life, and Jesus is exalted, it leads to the final thing, and that is sin is confessed. And that sin in our life, when we realize that Jesus alone is God, that he is the Lord and we are not, then we must bow before him and honor his name above everything else. It leads us to that point of confession. And that's what happened here. People openly confessed their sins. And it says the believers, those who had believed, many of those who had believed now openly confessed their sins. They had secret sins. They were thinking, boy, I can believe in Jesus, but yet I can hold on to this. And when they realized they couldn't do that, when God's power was displayed, they realized, I need to confess fully my sin before God. Several years ago, there was a revival that broke out at Asbury College, and it lasted for several weeks. You may remember hearing that on the news. And it happened because in a chapel service, after the message was given, a boy was convicted through the word of God, and he confessed his sin. And he came forward and confessed his sin that he had tried to secretly hide from the Lord. And it led to someone else and someone else. And it led to that revival because he openly he confessed his sin and said, I'm not going to hide it anymore. I'm not going to play games. I'm going to get serious before God and I'm going to deal with this in my life. Realizing I can't serve God and hold on to this. To confess our sin in the biblical mean here doesn't mean that we have to get up and tell it to somebody else. We believe, we go directly to Jesus. We don't need a priest, right? We don't have to confess our sin to any person. We confess it directly to Jesus. But what was happening here was the people fully realized and they admitted it. And they said, I'm not going to cover it anymore. And they made a clean break. And to confess our sin means that we make a complete break, we forsake it. Remember what Jesus said to the woman who was caught in adultery? He said, I don't judge you anymore. I forgive you, but what else did he say? But go and sin no more. Leave it, forsake it. And notice it said that they took their magic arts. So many of them in the church were still being involved in the occultic practices that was going on in Ephesus. And they finally took it and they confessed and they burned and they said, no more. I'm getting this out of my life. Paul later on wrote back to the church at Ephesus and said, whatever we need to get rid of out of our life, anything that is of the darkness, anything that is displeasing to the God of the old nature, we need to get that out of our life and forsake it and confess it to him and make a clean break. And when we do that, we see a work of God in our heart. And that's when revival begins. That's when a great awakening begins. And it begins with each of us confessing those sins in our life. And we can't point it to somebody else. We all have those things in our life that we deal with and struggle with. That we can try to excuse. We can try to cover over. But we need to fully surrender it, fully forsake it, and fully admit it and bring it to him. And that's what was happening here. And it led to a movement of the Spirit of God that transformed the city of Ephesus, as we'll see next week. A total transformation came to that town because of God's work through them and in their life. So wouldn't you love to see that stirring in our heart, and that when great awakening began, it can begin with us as we realize that God's presence, God is present through his Spirit to convict us, to reveal more of himself to us, that his word is proclaimed so that we would know him better and know his will, that his power is displayed as he transforms our life, and that Jesus is exalted as Lord above everything else, and then any sin that we need to confess. When Isaiah saw that image of God in the temple in Isaiah chapter 6, and we began the service with that scripture referencing the holiness of God, and as Isaiah saw that Jesus saw the Lord high and lifted up in the temple, and the Lord said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, as the angels proclaimed that. He said, my eyes have seen the Lord in his holiness and how great he is. But then he said, but woe is me. And I realize who I am in the holiness of God. When we see the holiness of God and how great he is, we see how far all of us fall short of that. Because sin has been described as an arrow trying to hit the mark. And none of us can hit the mark of God's holiness. Every time we try to shoot at it, we fall way, way short. And realizing in the light of the holiness of God who we are, and confessing that before him, knowing that the words of Jesus says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to what? Not remember them anymore, but to forgive them and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And when he does that, as far as the east is from the west is how far he takes them from us forever. Isn't that great news? And that's the good news. So the Holy Spirit is here this morning. If he's stirring in your heart something, and has laid a finger on something in your life that needs to be confessed or dealt with, or you're not honoring Jesus as we should, this is the time to deal with that and to let him have his way. And to begin a great awakening that would move in our heart as we encounter him in a new and a fresh way. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word and your presence with us through your Holy Spirit. Lord, that as you stir in our heart and you're giving us your Holy Spirit so that we may know you better, understand your truth, and show us who you are and how we fall so short of that. Lord, stir in our heart this morning. Give us a greater love and desire for you. Lord, that we are tired of just going on with the same old, but Lord, we just stir in us a new passion and love for you and rekindle that flame through your Spirit in a new way. And Father, we thank you for your word that reveals to us your truth and how you want us to live and how to know you better. That as we are exposed to it through your word and understand it, your word shows us the way because it's the roadmap and the guide for our life. And Lord, that whenever we yield to you and your word, your power begins to be displayed in us through the transformation that you make, and that you indeed are exalted. You are Lord above all else. And Lord, forgive us for the times that we treat your name lightly or flippantly, or don't take you, regard your holiness as much as we should, or try to manipulate you for our purposes. You are not to be manipulated in any way. And Father, through your Holy Spirit and your truth, and when we see you for who you are, we see ourselves for who we are, and realize that there are sins in our life that we, like David, have tried to cover over maybe for a year or more, thinking we can go on and nobody will know. But Lord, your Holy Spirit knows, and we can't hide those from you. And Lord, we're miserable unless we can fully confess those sins, because they keep us from having intimacy with you. So Lord, if your Holy Spirit is showing us, show us now. Search our hearts, O God, and see, as David prayed, if there be any wicked way in us. And reveal that to us, that we may come and confess that before you and take it seriously and forsake it and not hold on to it or not continue to live in that. Your word said if we continue to live in our sin, we're deceived and the truth of God is not in us. And so, Father, may we truly do business with you. Lord, we desire a great awakening and fresh outpouring of your Spirit upon us that would begin in our heart, spread through our church and beyond us to those that we know. For Lord, we love to see you at work in our lives in new and fresh ways. So have your way is our prayer this morning as we wait before you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.